If we can believe, hallelujah, that He's the God, hallelujah, that raises the dead, hallelujah, from the grave. If we can believe that He's the God of miracles. He's God of might and strength, power. There's nothing greater. There's no stone that He can't roll away right here, right now. Right here, right now, by faith, we grab hold of it. By faith, hallelujah, we release, hallelujah. By faith, we grab hold of what He's done for us. By faith, we believe it and take hold of it. And it transforms you. It changes you. Well, tonight, dear God, Lord, I pray, dear God, Lord, that we grab hold of Your Word, dear God, Lord. And we don't walk out here, dear God, not taking hold of what You have placed before us. What You have given to us, the power, God, Lord, that You have placed before us to reach out and to grab by faith and just believe. That's all You require of us, is just to believe. Lord, I pray that tonight, God, Lord, that we walk out with that power of understanding, that my believing causes me to be empowered, changes everything. Lord, I pray for strength upon each one here tonight. I pray that no matter what they're going through, God, Lord, I pray to God, Lord, they hear the Word and understand, God, that You're the God of breakthrough. You're the God of miracles. Hallelujah. You're the same God that was, that is to come. Hallelujah. You have resurrection power in Your words. Lord, we believe. We stand on that. In the power of Your name. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, bless somebody in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, tell somebody, I believe. I believe. Amen. I believe. Come on, hallelujah. Come on, greet somebody else. Hallelujah. I believe. Amen. Come on, tell two people, I believe.
I believe, I believe, I believe. I believe.
Amen. Hallelujah. Children may go to their classes. Just for a second. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, He is. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, that's the greatest thing to understand, that the thing that changed my life forever was believing. Believing in what He did for me, believing and understanding and trusting and know that what He did for me was powerful. What He did for me was enough. That He took my place. That whatever I face, that no matter what mountain I see, no matter what valley I'm in, no matter what storm I'm up against, that I know that what He did for me was more than enough. And as simple as some, I want you to know that sometimes we want to make it complicated beyond what it really is. And all that it really is just believing. But sometimes that's the hardest thing for us to do, is just believe. Trusting in what He did was enough. Trusting that He loves me beyond measure. Hallelujah. That it goes beyond my circumstance. That whatever I face, that whatever I'm up against, that His love is greater. It's greater than that. Trusting that. But we get caught up in everything around us in the view of what we see. And sometimes it shakes us. And He says, just stand and believe. Just believe. I want you to know we start with that. And what happens is something begins to increase within you. That's faith. The more you begin to believe, the more you begin to trust, the more you begin to hope in what He's done. Stand on it. When it looks impossible, looks like you can't get through it, stand. When you feel like you're going to lose, stand. You feel like you've been knocked back, stand. Get back up. Stand in the understanding and knowing that God is with you. That this thing can become, this situation that you might be going through, this problem that you're facing, becomes opportunity to our God. To our God. Because when you begin to get to know God, you begin to realize how much He loves you. Hallelujah. That no matter what you're going through, no matter what it looks like, you know and trust and believe that He's your God. He's your God. He's not just the God of Pastor Chris, the God of Lindsay, but He's my God. Come on, say it with me. My God. He wants you to say, my God. He was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It was personal. It was an individual. It was an understanding that He's my God. He wants to walk with you through your things, the things that you go through, that you could see that He's your God, that He's the God, hallelujah, of the impossible. He's the God of miracles. And the only way we experience that is we step into it little by little, just believing, just trusting in that, just trusting and knowing that you're forgiven, that He loves you. His mercy is never ending. Amen? Come on, hallelujah. Give one more praise. Woo. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm already warm. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tonight, I want to share with you about what His Word does. And going through things and holding on to words. His word, amen. His word through what we go through and what we experience. I hope this helps you tonight. I know that sometimes we've heard the story of Lazarus, but tonight I just been reading it over and over again, and some things have just popped out to me that I just didn't have before, that just didn't get me. But sometimes I want you to know that sometimes you could read the story and understand that this word is living. It's living. See, I can read this word. That's what's so exciting about the words. Powerful is that it's a living word. It's a living word that when I can relate to it, to what I'm going through at this second, right now, that I can take hold of this word and it can has opportunity to change my life if I let it. This word. Hallelujah. And it's not just the Bible, but it is the Word of God. Amen. Say the Word of God. I need to believe that. I need to believe that this is the Word of God and take hold of it and walk in it. So we're going to go here. We're going to go in John 11. Hi. Just let me know you're here. Amen. She's here. The Pied Piper. Now, this is in John 11, 1. And it says, "And now there was a certain man who was sick, and his name was Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha." We all know the story of Mary and Martha. They're on a continual journey of learning, just like me. Come on, amen. They're going to make mistakes. I look at these two and I see the mistakes that they make and I say, wow, that's me. Come on. I could flip it back and forth. Sometimes I'm Mary, sometimes I'm Martha. Amen. Come on, smile at me. Amen. I go through things in life and sometimes I'm really hitting it hard. And I'm Mary. I'm right there anointing Jesus' feet. And sometimes I'm just... going through things. Come on, amen? Just going through things. So I want you to see this. So Mary and Martha. And it was that the Mary which anointed the Lord. They just put that in there just to get us the grip to know who this was. The brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him saying, "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." And it says, when Jesus heard that, he said, "The sickness is not unto death, but to the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified." Now, I want us to get this. I want us just to dive into this thing and just reach into this word and take hold of it for your heart. Come on, amen. I believe that each one's here tonight is for us to hear this word because it's for us. Amen? Say it's for me. It's a living word. So, the first thing we see here is they sent a word to Jesus. And Jesus sent a word to them. I want you to know that all that matters. Did you ever, you text, everybody texts, you text, and you understand how a text works. And each one of them, you know, when you text and you get your text and you text somebody, and do you ever text that person and all of a sudden, if you have an iPhone, you look and there's the little logo there, whatever that is, and it's letting you know that they got it and they're waiting to respond back to you. They're about ready to send you a message. And how many of you ever just sat there and seen it? All right, come on. How long does it take to respond? I do that to my wife sometimes. I'm like, I see it and I'm like, I do it with Matt sometimes, especially with Matt. Because, yeah, then they disappear and you're like, wait a minute. Come on, you see that? Come on, you know what I'm talking about. If you've never seen it, do it. I mean, you'll see. It's like letting you know that they see it. It's like you're going into a place where that you're seeing something that's happening that's not in front of you. And you're watching them getting into their phone and texting, getting into your name and seeing that, responding to it. So you can't get away from knowing that they've seen it. Help me, come on, I want you to get this. But I want you to know, it's not about what they sent to him, but it's waiting to hear what he sends to them. Come on, I want you to know that it's not about what I have to say that's important. It's about what he has to say to me. I want you to hear this. It's about what he has. Tell someone it's about what he has to say. I want you to know that my heart needs to wait and to be holding on to what he has to say. Because I want you to know what he has to say changes things. What I have to say, come on, it's not what he has to say. When I understand that it's what he's saying to me that matters. Come on, because I want you to know that sometimes I can declare something or say something, be frustrated. You've been frustrated, you cry out to God, but it's what God gives you back. It's what he's saying to you. It's what you hear from God at that moment that'll change everything. And what do we do in that moment? How do I stand in that moment when I get that word from God? There's times in your life that you understand that I want you to just get out of the way. You ready? God wants to talk to you. Tell someone here tonight, God wants to talk to you. Come on, listen to me. Get it out of your head. Well, I don't know. I got to get some things right before he talks to me. Take that out of your head and lay it aside. Because that's not the truth. God wants to talk to you. God wants to give you a word. I want you to know the only way out of our situations is receiving what he has for me. Is hearing his word to get me out of my problems and my situation. It takes a word from God. It takes a word from God. I want you to know that every one of us can get a word by faith, believing that God... We have to start by believing. I want you to know that God can talk to you in the most craziest ways. It could be in a scripture in the morning. It could be just by somebody just sharing something with you or just hearing or listening to the radio that I put myself in a place to hear. But you have to place yourself in that place to hear that word. You can't be in a place... Hands over ears, not wanting, but it has to be a heart to hear, to want to hear. Amen? So here this is, and this is the powerful thing. It says, Jesus heard that he said, this sickness is not unto death. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. I want you to know that the first thing that they said to them, but what came back to you is not fake news. Come on, tell someone it's not fake news. See, because the first thing that they might have thought is, wait a minute, this is not unto death. Wait a minute, you're not here. Sometimes I want you to know that I want to be real tonight, amen? Let's lay it out there. Sometimes that you say to yourself, wait a minute, no, I'm going through that. This thing is real to me, amen? And I'm hearing a word that doesn't seem like the reality that I'm facing. It doesn't seem like the answer that... That I hear and I'm seeing, that I'm seeing my brother on his deathbed. I'm seeing my brother coming to the end of life. And I get a word back to me, this is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Listen. He says it's for the glory of God. And we can look at John 9:3, and Jesus says this. He says that I must work the works of him that sent me. What is the day and night cometh when no man can work? He says that neither hath this man sinned. He says, but the works of God should be manifest in him, that the works of God might be manifested. Jesus is declaring something that the works of my Father might be manifested in this moment. Listen. How many of you have had a moment in your life, moments in your life that have been rough moments? Come on, I want you to hear this. There's times in our life that they're great moments, but there's times in our life that we're going through situations. And I want you to know that He says that this moment in our life, He says that I want this moment to be a moment that the works of God can be revealed. I want you to hear this, that God wants to work His work in your life. He wants to work His miracle through your experience in the moment that you're going through, if we let Him. Come on, amen. If we line ourselves up and believe what He says, trusting in what He is doing, and not being blown away by our situation, being knocked off our feet, but standing in the Word, relying and understanding that that Word is to work something in my life for God to be glorified. So out of this situation in my life, it becomes an opportunity for God to be glorified. That word, to glorify, that means to be manifested, to be released, to be expressed in a situation. So I want you to, this becomes an opportunity. So I want us to look at our situations that we're going through and realize that they become opportunities for the glory of God to appear. For this to be a moment of God. For this to be God's moment. Come on, amen? For this to be a moment for God to be manifested in my problem, in my situation. That this becomes a moment for God. That I step out and I say, hey, God, I can't handle this. I can't do this on my own. But I need You, dear God, to work Your works. Tell Him, say, work Your works. Work Your works. And then Jesus says this. He says this to her. Back here somewhere here. It says, that I might be glorified. And now Jesus loved Martha. This is the powerful thing that He says. Jesus loved Martha and her sisters. Loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. I want you to see this, that this settles everything. You've been given a word. And then He says that Jesus loved them. For you just to understand that God's just not doing a dirty trick. He's not just trying to hide. He's not doing something to spite them. But He wanted them to know that they knew inside them that He loved them. That's the thing that we have to grab hold of through the things that we go through. To have a moment is knowing that God loves you. I want you to know that I've said this 100 times, but this is what we have to be rooted in, is His love for me. You will never love Him until you know that He loves you. And believe that He loves you. And open yourself up that He loves you. And be vulnerable enough to know that He loves you. Even in my mess, even in my problems, in my situation, He loves me. Tell your neighbor He loves you. This is the thing, this is the insurance that will get you through no matter what you go through. This is the thing that will bring the sun in the midst of a cloudy situation, is knowing, man, He loves me. Ephesians 3, 13 through 20. I want you to see this. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations or your tribulations, which is your glory. For the cause I bow my knees unto the Father, Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. He says, that we might grant you according to the riches of His glory. He strengthened in might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in what? In love. May be able to comprehend. Listen. This is the thing that we have to understand, that we have to comprehend this. For us to get through anything, any tribulation, any moments in our lives, there has to be something comprehended in me to understand that He loves me. That I need to comprehend it with the saints. What is the breadth? What is the length? What is the depth and the height? I think that covers everything. Come on, amen. What is the breadth? What is the length? What is the depth? What is the height? And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. I want you to know that, listen, this is the key thing here, that He wants them to see that beyond measure, beyond what it looks like, beyond what it seems, if you know that I love you, beyond your present circumstance, present your present knowledge of understanding, that Lazarus is dying, he's about ready to die, that there's no hope there, that he's got to be here right now. Come on, amen. The time is so important right now that it goes beyond your knowledge of trusting. Because it looks like it's impossible. But he says, the love which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. That you be filled with all that He is. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ through all, which without end. A love without end. Without measure. That it goes beyond my walls. Beyond the heights. Beyond the width. That this love. That it goes beyond my knowledge and thinking. That when others come and say, look at my situations or your problems, and remind me of them, that it has to go beyond that. Amen? Listen. And it says, and now Jesus loved them, and He had heard, therefore, that he was sick, and he abode 2 days still in the same place. Now, I want you to know that we got to remember, say it, he loves us. But he stayed in the same place for two more days. I want you to know that it has to go beyond my knowledge and my understanding. Why would he do that? Why is he doing that? Sometimes we wear ourselves out trying to understand why things are the way they are right now in our lives. But the thing that we have to understand that goes beyond is His love for me. Listen. And to take hold of His word, because He said that this sickness is not unto death, but it is for the glory of God. It is for the glory of God. Say, it's for the glory of God. Listen to me. I wrote this down. What God gave you cannot be lost. God gave them a word. And that word cannot be lost. But it can be left. It can be abandoned. But it's still there. I'm going to say it again. What God gave you cannot be lost. It can be left or abandoned. It is still there though. His word is still there for you to take hold, to comprehend, to grab hold of for yourself. It doesn't leave. It's there. See, I want you to know that that same word that God declared that is for the glory of God, it is not unto death, was there. And what happens in the midst of it, what happened from the time that He gave that word, from then on, you can either leave the word, you can abandon that word, or you can stand on that word. You can grab hold of that word. You can walk away from that word. I want you to know that that's sometimes what happens, that we go through things and we abandon the understanding that, man, God loves me, or that God's there for me, that no matter what happens, that no matter what I'm going through, that I know that God loves me in spite of my situation. God's for me, not against me. Amen? But sometimes we might have to hold on to that word through the night. It was 2 days. It became 4 days. Sometimes you have to hold on to that word. But I want to remind you, you can either leave that word, abandon that word, or you can stand on that word. He gave them that word at the beginning of their situation. Put it before them. That they knew that He loved them. But some things were going to happen that were going to take place here that would make them might think that God wasn't there for them. See, the enemy wants to do everything he can to disrupt your understanding of what God thinks of you. To see that God's against you. Things that we go through. Things that we experience. We do experience tribulation. But God says, I'll be there with you. I will go through them with you. Through the waters, through the fires. That the glory of God might be manifested in the midst of it. That He can work in me. Amen? He says, so he says, and when he heard, therefore, that he was there for, he was sick, that he abode 2 days. Tell someone, don't panic. Then after that, he saith to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. And his disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late, here they sought to stone thee, and thou goest there again? And Jesus answered, he says, are there not 12 hours in the day? I want you to see that Jesus, his word is continually teaching them. He's showing them that what happened was they were afraid that Jesus said something and offended somebody. He said something that offended somebody, and they were going to stone Jesus. They're going to throw rocks at him. I want you to know that how do I receive the word is important. However I receive that word, how am I receiving it? How am I taking a hold of it? They were going to throw rocks at it because it offended them. I can't have that. I want you to know that there is times in my life that that's what happens whenever I don't believe what He did for me or believe that He loves me. It's like rejecting that word. Come on, that's a powerful thing. And sometimes we don't look at it that way, but that's what it is. It's like throwing a rock at it and not believing it. I don't want to hear it. That's what we do sometimes. When that word comes and it's right there, what am I going to do with that word? What do I do? Am I going to stand on it and believe in it? So here he was. And he said to them, he says, and there not after 12 hours. He says, is there not 12 hours of daylight? And if any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. He puts this here for us to understand. We have to continue to believe, that keep that word in our hearts. Keep that word before us. Because I want you to know that when we put aside, when we abandon that word, when we leave that word behind, we begin to walk in our own strength, in darkness, in a sense of trying to get through things on our own. That moment that we're having in our life, trying to do it in the dark, trying to do it by myself. And He's standing there saying, listen, I want you to walk with me through this moment. I want you to take hold of what I have. I want to be a light to this situation. I want to brighten up this place so that you won't trip, that you won't fall. That you can get through this moment. That others might see it and glorify God because of what happened. Because of your belief in me. Because in the midst of this dark moment, you're letting the light shine in your heart. Come on, I want you to know that sometimes you ever been confident in your understanding of knowing your own house and knowing how to get through your house in the dark. Don't fool yourself. Doesn't always work. I do it all the time. I think I know, but my cats or my dog, they don't always know that I'm going to get up at night without a light. What I've seen in the daylight, I can step over, but at night, it becomes a surprise. Thinking that these animals at my house think that I don't like them. When I come through the door, I have a dog that acts like that annoying best friend. How you doing? How you doing? What's going on? How you been? Where you been? What you do today? What you been doing? What's going on? All over me. The constant licking to let you know he loves you. That's not a sign of love to me. How you doing? Good to see you. But I want you to see that, listen to me, that in the midst of that darkness where I try to get through things, I'll end up stubbing my toe. I can't get mad at the furniture because it's always been there. I got to get mad because I don't have light. Because I can't see what's before me. I want you to know that He is my light. He is the light of the world. He is the light that I don't stumble. I take advantage of that. I turn that light on. I want you to know that He says, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. So this light that we experience here tonight, that we're able to see, you're able to see me because without these lights, you can't see me. Without these lights, you're going to have a tough time getting out of this church. We'll try it after. I'm going to do a demonstration. Listen, But he says, but if a man walks in the night, he stumbles because there is no light. Because there is no light. He is the Word. He is the light. I need to take hold of that Word. I can't let that go in the midst of my darkness, in my situation, in my moment, in my life. I can't let it go in there. Because the only way to get through that is that Word. In my present situation is the Word. And believing in it. He says, now Jesus loved... Oh yeah, I'm way down here. Okay. Let us go. And he says, these things said he after he said unto them, our friend Lazarus, he's sleeping. And the disciple says, oh, he's sleeping. Oh, he's going to do well. Listen, sometimes we're dingbats. Sometimes you got to say it twice. I know sometimes with me, he has to say it a few times. And he says, no, he's dead. He's dead? Panic sets in. These are the disciples that just heard what they heard. They were standing right there. They heard that he said, this is not unto death, but for the glory of God. We need to repeat it in our heads over and over again. This is not unto death, but for the glory of God. This is for the glory of God. This is for the glory of God. But it went in one ear and out the other. And it gave opportunity for them to stumble in the midst of a situation. And all of a sudden, there's always that one in the room that lets the situation override them. Come on. We all know there's those people that when something comes, oh my gosh! You're the first they call. I talk to people that seriously, they're giving the glory to God before they're done. Let me tell you about this. Let me just stop you. Let's just stick with what you said the first time. Listen. And he says, and then said Thomas, which is the twin, unto the fellow disciples. He said this, listen to this funny, because he said it to the disciples. I don't think he might not have said it out loud to Jesus, but you know, talking to God, you don't have to say things out loud. I didn't know if you knew this or not. But you don't have to say it out loud. He knows your thoughts. And he says, he called unto Didymus, he says, the fellowship of the disciples, let us also go. We're going to die. Let's just go die. Listen, I want you to know that we always have those ones that are always with us that might feel that way, but we can't let them give us direction on which way to go. We have to stand on that Word. Doesn't mean you reject them or you get them out, but I'm saying we have to stand for that Word for ourselves. I can't let that hold me. I can't let that take hold of me. Amen? And he says, let us go that we might die. And when Jesus came, he found that I want you to know that he really didn't respond to that. And he says that he had lain in the grave for 4 days. For 4 days. And I want you to know that there was a reason why Jesus waited 4 days. Because the Jewish custom, what they believed, the tradition was that the soul in a man would stick around for 4 days. And after 4 days, after 3 days, the fourth day, that they would be gone. There was no hope for them. So Jesus stayed above and beyond. He went 4 days. Just to make sure you said that he didn't do this in his own work, that he was dead. Yes, he was dead. But he's the God of miracles. Come on, amen. Tell someone, but he's the God of miracles. It might seem impossible, it might seem bad, that we might look at this situation, this circumstance, and look, how can this possibly work out? Because he's the God of miracles. Come on, we got to understand that and believe that. And it's rooted in that love that he has for me. And he says, and when Jesus came, he says, and now they found him in Bethany, nigh unto Jerusalem. I'm going to wrap this up really quick here. Comfort them concerning thy brother. And he says, Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, that she went to meet him. She went to meet him, but Mary, say, but Mary. But Mary stayed. And it says, and it was 15 furlongs. That means it was 2 miles away from where they were to where Jesus was. 2 miles. Mary stayed there in disappointment and gloom. But Martha, she left where she was and went. It was only 2 miles away. I want you to know that sometimes we'll sit and just 2 miles away, just right down the road. I want you to know that just at a brisk walk. Is that brisk? I don't know. So at a brisk walk, it takes 30 minutes to go 2 miles. At a brisk walk. But not a brisk walk, it would take 40 minutes. I'd rather drive in a car, it would take me 2 minutes. So you can relate this. 2 miles, 2 minutes down the road is a word for you. Come on, amen. That you might have left and you might have abandoned, but I want you to know it hasn't left you. That word is still there. Come on, amen. You might feel that it's away from you, but it's right there. And Martha chose to step out of that home, out of that misery. Sometimes you just got to get up. Sometimes you got to get up and you got to go meet your word. You got to go reach for it. You got to go believe it when you don't feel like it. You got to walk that extra 2 miles to get there when you don't feel like it sometimes. Because sometimes you don't know how you could. I don't know. I mean, it's hard for me to grasp. But no. I'm going to press beyond this. I'm going to walk briskly to my miracle. I'm going to take hold of it. That I just need to be around the Word. I just need to grab that Word. My life. Because I know that He is the God of miracles. I want you to know she didn't have everything worked out in her head. You don't got to get it all worked out of your head. There's some things I have questions about, but I just got to walk the mile, 2 miles to get there to grab hold of that word. I can't stay in that place. I got to get there. Listen. And it says, he says, Martha unto Jesus, she said, hast thou been here? If you've been here, my brother wouldn't have died. If you would have been here. Questions that we have. Have you ever had that question in your life? God, if you had just done this. But I know that even now, whatever you ask of your Father, He'll give it to you. Listen, I want you to know that Jesus wasn't just come to let us know what His Father would do for Him. He wanted us to know what His Father will do for me. He wanted me to be empowered like He was empowered with the Word. How that He walked through His situations and problems without understanding that if I know that if He hears from me, He could hear from me. Wow. And it says, and Martha says unto them, thy brother, and Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise. I'm going to say it again. He'll rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know that he will at the resurrection. Listen, Martha, shut up. Sometimes you need to tell yourself, just shut up. Just believe it. Just believe it. Just let it sink in and just believe it. Come on, we just got to do that. You just got to walk those 2 miles knowing that, man, it's going to be all right. I don't know how, but He's God of miracles. He's the God of the impossible. He's resurrection life. And listen, she needed a reminder of that. And Martha said unto him, I know that He's the resurrection. Jesus says, I am the resurrection. Come on, amen. I want you to know that I am the resurrection. Amen. Jesus, He used those references in many times. And He says, I am. Guess what I am? I am the light. Hallelujah. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He began to describe Himself in a metaphor as an example of these things that we need, that we desperate. I'm the bread of life. I am a drink. Hallelujah. I am what you long for. Whatever it is, tell someone whatever it is. I am. See, I want you to know that He wants me to know that He is the I Am. And the way that I experience that is a know is trusting Him in those moments and know that I don't know how, but I know He's the I Am. I know that He is the I Am. Come on, tell someone He's the I Am. He is the I Am. I am whatever you need me to be. that you trust me to be. The resurrection, the life. I'm the vine, hallelujah, that gives you life, that produces fruits in your life. I am that vine. That's who I am. And she needed reminded of that in that moment. Something quickened within her. The only way she was going to get it is if she went after it. And she did. Even in her questions, even in her doubt, she went after it. The only way you find it. Listen, I want you to know that when I was in my deepest, darkest place, I knew the only way that I could find it is if I went after it. By faith. I didn't know how God was going to do it. I didn't know how, but I showed up at a place where I knew I could meet Him. I knew where I could find Him. Where the people like you gathered to meet Him. Not like we can't meet Him anywhere, but they gathered specifically in that moment, in that time. That I found Him in that moment, in that time, that they met Him. I walked those 2 miles and realized that He is the I Am. What I need in that moment. It says, and Jesus said, thy brother shall rise. And it says, and whatsoever liveth, believeth in me. Whosoever believeth, say whosoever, he shall never die. Believest thou this? And she said to him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art Christ, the Son of God, that should come unto the world. And when she had said this, she left, went her way, and she came to her sister. I want you to know that you cannot keep what you have alone. You need to share it. Because I want you to know that true believing is sharing. It's expressing it some way. That when you believe it in your heart, you'll declare it. You'll be able to speak it. And it'll confirm in your own ears that it's true. So she went to her sister and she whispered in her ear that He's looking for you. He's looking for you. He told Mary. Mary was in a dark place. She was in a hard place. She lost her brother. She felt like he rejected her. It says this. Listen, I want you to hear this. And she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master has come and calls for you. As soon as she heard it, she got up and rose quickly and came unto Him. As soon as she heard that, what did she hear? That He wanted her. That He was asking for her. That He desired to speak to her. I want you to know that is the link that we understand that God wants to talk to me. When I believe that, it will get me up from my situation and my circumstance and my problems. It will cause me to get up. Would you stand to your feet? How many of you guys know that ultimately we understand that that word came alive? And the reality of that word was seen before them. When He stood before that grave, that He got through all the problems. I want you to know that it broke His heart when He stood there and all of them there, they were still doubting. And even Martha she was still learning, but she wasn't leaving that word. She was still standing there. She was still in that rough place of trusting Him. But He says, remove the stone. And the first thing she said was what? I don't know. He's been there 4 days. He stinks. Most of us would have thought that too. Come on. Hey, listen. He's been in there for 4 days. He probably stinks. Do not go in there. But Jesus, at that moment when they said that, and the others were there, they were believing that, oh, how could this be? He mourned, and it's the shortest scripture in the Bible. It says Jesus wept. You know why He wept? Because of their unbelief. Because of their rejection to what He was saying. I don't want to cause Him to cry because of my doubt. I want to see the impossible because I believe. I want to trust God to do miracles in believing. That even though that I know that in my own knowledge and understanding that if you roll that stone away, whatever comes out of there is going to stink. And they rolled a stone away, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. His word spoke the words. And all of a sudden, I want you to know that here comes Lazarus walking out of the tomb. He's walking like this because he's a mummy, because he's wrapped up in these grave clothes, and he's coming towards them. His head's all wrapped up, and he's all bandaged up, and he's coming out like this. At that moment, I'm thinking, what is going on? This is my best friend. His name's Jesus. Come on. I want to be right beside him. If he could speak and out of a grave comes a dead man, I'm not letting him go. I'm going to stand on this word. Whatever he says, I'm going to agree with. Whatever he says, just do it. And the next thing he says was take off the grave clothes. I want you to know, this is powerful and I'm done, is that Jesus got them to get up and begin to take off the dead clothes to see the miracle that was before them. I want you to know that God wants you to be part of the miracle that's present before you. God wants you to be part of that miracle. He says, you take off the dead clothes. You unwrap it. Hallelujah. You see what's inside. Come on. God's got something for you, but you got to unwrap it. You might have to walk that extra 2 miles. You might have to take off the dead clothes. Man, with faith, believing that, man, what's on the inside, hallelujah, is better than what's on the outside. Come on, amen. You're going to trust and believe. But God wants to do your miracle with you. Every miracle that God did, there was participants that took place. Somewhere, somehow. And that participating is believing. Is believing. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I pray tonight to God, Lord, that we just stand on your word, God, that we're not shaken, that we understand the breadth, the length, the height, the depth of that love that you have for us. Lord, that it invades the impossible, hallelujah, that it overcomes doubt and fear, that no matter what I go through, that I know that you're God of the impossible. You're the God of miracles. And Lord, we give you glory, God. Lord, I ask to God, Lord, to work the works in our lives. Through our situations, each one of us have our own individual things. But God, Lord, you, God, you want to work individually in each one of our lives. So tonight we open our hearts to you to work your works. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, bless somebody, encourage somebody. Amen. Hallelujah.